Today, I want to just share things from my heart, which I believe that is what God wants you to hear. One thing I have seen and I have known, that God has a plan for everyone. Nobody comes to this world without God's purpose for his life. And as you walk, God finds a way of directing your path and guiding you to where you have to get to. A man called Saul realized God have called him and decided to do God's work. But the way he was doing it was not the right way. The group he joined knew God's way in a certain way. So when God started showing himself and God's work started increasing, he became alarmed because he wanted to protect the work of God. He's got a zeal and want God's work to be protected in sincerity of the heart, but he was wrong. So we can be rightly wrong. While he was doing his job, that time Christianity had just come, Jesus had died and resurrected, and he asked them to go and wait, and they waited up, and there was a revival, and the church was moving. Everybody was very happy. It was having influence over society in the city of Jerusalem. The religious group thought that, hey, I think they were not thinking about God. They were not even thinking about the things of God. Anytime people want to fight against change, it's not because of the change, but because of their position. Any change that comes, and you even, especially if always you go to office late and become the norm, anytime you come, you write, even if you write 12 o'clock, you become the norm for many years. Then they bring an MP, another person. He comes and said, I want to insist on time. I bet you almost 80% will hit the MD. They will fight you if you don't strategize well, if you don't use strategy to get your goal around, and you want to do it straight, they will kill you, they will crucify you. So was a very vibrant young man who saw that people were preaching about some dead man. To him, somebody who came and just want to create trouble, was arrested and killed. And to their mind, then people have come out and say that the one whom they killed is alive. In fact, even if it's nowadays, and we are not very positioned, this church will fight that system. But what you don't understand, you'll fight it. So sincerely, he was fighting, he was beating them, stoning them, because he thinks he was doing the work of God. Because some people are trying to destroy the religion. So we must protect God's interest. So one of his journey on the way, he packed himself very well, very eloquent. He knows how to argue his way. He has some quality, but has what we call zeal, passion. I believe that in everything you do, be passionate about it. Whatever you believe, what I get to know whether people believe something is their passion. If you want to know where God wants you to go, look at your passion. What are you passionate about? If you're not passionate about something and they put you in, you will trouble yourself. That's why people have about 80% high blood pressure and other things. But they've been positioned in the work they're doing which is not a joy, which they don't have joy out of, but because they want money. If you have that money, will you still do that work? If no, there's a wrong place. If that money was coming to you free and you're supposed to work, will you still work with that zeal? If yes, will you still get up early in the morning and go to school and teach the children? If there's no salary attached to it, but you are getting that money somewhere, which is not related to that work, will you still do it? If there is nothing coming out of it, nobody is called honorable. And you go to parliament to do national service, will you still go and stand as an MP? If no, will you still spend money to give to people to vote for you? If no, then you are at the wrong place. So he was passionate and was going about it, killing them. Then one day, he was going with Bram, trying to chase them now, chasing. Then Saul still do what? Hey! Breathing what? Threats and murder. The man is breathing what? Not only threat, but what? He's ready to kill. In the name of God. So he was breathing everything. His passion was that if anybody stands on my way, he was gone. But we must stop this people before they take over. And they started chasing them. So on his way, let's read. Still breathing threat and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. He went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, so the Christian is the way. Whether men or what? Women. He might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. He was getting close. And suddenly, a light shone around them. When light comes around, the missing man finds his way. Amen. Saul was lost. But he need light. So once there is light, you understand. So light came around. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Was he going to arrest Jesus? Was it Jesus he was going to beat? Was it Jesus he was going to do something against? What was he going to do? Who were the people he was going to arrest? Disciples. But Jesus did not say, why are you persecuting my disciples? He said, why are you persecuting me? That's why it's very important how you treat a believer. Whatever you do to a believer, it is the same like doing it to Jesus. You know, at a point he said, he said, I was sick and you did not visit me. I was hungry, You did not give me food, isn't it? I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you what? You visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. For I was hungry and what? You gave me food. I was thirsty and what? You gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as what? You did it to what? To one of what? He didn't even say the pastor. The least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Whatever you do to any least of the brothers in the body of Christ, you have done it against Christ or for Christ. So the way you relate to your Christian brother is Christ you are relating to. That is why when we come and want to eat the law, the covenant, they say we should discern the body. What do we discern? Discern whether you are living right with your brother. So if you hate somebody by your side, especially a Christian and in your house, without a cause, without a reason. Some people just hate people just because they hate them. They hate you to the core with all their passion. I want you to learn how to relate with believers, not because of where they come from, not because of the qualification they have, not because of the dress they wear, but because of the Christ in them. Amen. When you have this key, you will not look down upon anybody. I hope you're getting me. So Saul, Jesus said, why are you kicking against me? For it is difficult. Oh. And who are you, Lord? And say, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard to kick against the gods. It is difficult to swim against the tide. It's better to obey God. It's easier to follow God's way than to fight God, because you can never win. So that is why it's important to find the will of God and easily flow with Him than fighting God's will. I believe that He said, thy will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. And the only people that can bring that will here on earth is a believer. And it is you. Because you are the will of God and you carry the will of God. We need to enter, send the will of God to areas if we want to change our nation, if we want to change our world. One of the areas is educational set up. It's not necessary, it's not if you set a church, set own a school. But it is the teachers that teach in the school. It's the content. It is not enough to buy or to own a radio or a television station, but it's the people who speak there. So don't leave it to the unbelievers. Those who are good, enter into it. When you go, I don't say be biased, but you will understand and know how to present Christ in that form. Look, Christ can be preached through anything. It can be preached through science. He can be preached even through politics. He can be preached through anything. Paul is a very good person. So anytime he goes there, he said, I am this. At a point, he's a Jew. At a point, he's a Gentile. He enters into where their gods, the people are mixing in their mind everything, even when they see a chair and the chair, the tree, and the tree is kef-kef, like they say, it's a god. So they name it. So to every family, you can get about 7 gods around. So all their mind is superstitious. But he did not go to condemn them. So skillful that he used their own God to preach the real God to them. It's not even setting a political party as a church. I don't think a church should get itself. But sending real transformational leaders that will enter into politics and change it. If we don't do that, you'll be shouting and shouting and it won't go anywhere. Let's be conscious and strategic as a church. Education. If you're a teacher, teach well. Be the best. Journalist, be the best. Business. You think someone say money is evil. Ha! Money is neutral. When an evil person gets money, it turns evil. When a good person gets money, it turns good. So it is powerful, but it's neutral. So whoever gets it can use it to perform, use that power to do what he wants to do. So encourage believers to go to the military. Let me tell you, Joshua, he was the commander. If God himself fights, airborne, you see, when they are fighting, the air force is God. So then he takes stones up there and throw bombs. He helps his people. Anybody he enters into a covenant with, when you attack the person, you've attacked God. Abraham entered into a covenant with God. And because of that covenant, a fight that is Abraham's fight becomes God's fight. When you pick war with Abraham, sorry, you pick war with God. If you pick war with Israel, you've picked war with God. So when we enter into a covenant, the one that we enter into a covenant with has his terms. The first thing is you discern the body. Look at somebody by you. Who do you see in him? So you've seen Christ in that person. So relate to him like how you relate to Christ. Somebody will tell me, but he doesn't behave like Christ. Really, some don't behave like Christ. So God is also encouraging us that there's a code that we must live by. So he even taught us how to deal with situation. And when somebody does something against you, don't just go to the radio station and announce it. Go to the person first. Understand the issue very well. That's why when the radio station one day called you to ask you from your version, your side, said, go to him, sister. That day, the way, not some people, they can easily, even in church, some people are so angry that, angry with some people that when they come to church and you sit by, it's pinching you in church while the pastor is preaching. And you see them fighting in the chair. If in the presence of God, that's what you do. Now what about when you go out? So it happened like that. You've entered your covenant. You look at your friend, your brother, your sister. Yes, I'm not saying they are perfect. We are all under construction. Until the road is finished and the asphalt is put on it. Some of them they have to dig the place. God have to dig. And you see potholes. You see that road. Some, they finish and they spread the dust and it's very dusty. You go by the person dust, you get kata. They create kata, spiritual kata, physical kata, social kata. Then some first coat, some second coat, we have not yet finished. So God is still working on every believer. But the believers should allow themselves to be worked on. So until the work is complete, they will have differences. If you tell me there are no differences among Christians, it's a lie. Even when God spoke that separate unto me, Paul and who? Barnabas. Did God speak? Was it not the Holy Spirit who spoke? The Bible said, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. Paul has some kind of temperament. Barnabas has another kind of temperament. The two temperaments don't seem to. But God said, bring them together. Paul is the type of person, Manunka. Barnabas says, oh, let's give the person a second chance. Paul says, if you're not going, cut him off. We have the Pauls and the Barnabas all here. Some are patient enough. It's not that they hate the people, but they just don't want God's work to be done anyhow. So God brings all this blend together so that we don't kill ourselves. So Paul will say this, and he wants to overrun. Barnabas will say, Paul, take your time. They are human beings. We are dealing with them. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, in fact, they were ministering and they fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, they didn't say anybody. I said, the Holy Spirit said, now Now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. But at the point, this Paul and Barnabas, who are human like us, had problems like you have problems. They have disagreement like you always have disagreement. And the disagreement was about a young man that they were traveling with. And the young man is like a modern Ghanaian, modern Christian young man. A person called Sheriasi Kakra. When wanted to go here, yeah, come on, let's go. Let's go and do crusade. No, I said, I'm going to do homo. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Easter. I am going for Hobo Chocho. I am going to Damba, to do the Damba or Fire Festival. Or Salon. This guy can't go with us. But I say, give him the chance. His temperament. This thing is not the Holy Spirit. It's a temperament. Sometimes God, when a man of God is ministering, his temperament and everything is involved. He takes that vessel and used in that vessel. So there was a sharp contention between Saul and Barnabas. And Saul took his path, and another one took his path. Said this one went and did his ministry. And he called it Apostle Barnabas Compassionate Ministry. And this one did his ministry. Apostle Paul with Joshua's ministry. And after Paul, you see, they had been born again. After Paul had grown and have borne the fruit of the Spirit and have understood the scripture he wrote from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love, that love is patient. Love is this. After he understood it, he then asked that they should bring Barnabas to him. I hope you're getting me. He said, we are human. But even with our mistake, God still wants to do his work. He's concentrating and doing his work. It doesn't mean that because they separated, God will stop working. God still wants to save souls. So if they separate, he will still be using this one to save the soul. He will use this one to save the soul. But when they matured in their spirit, and when you mature in the spirit, it then overrides your temperament. That is where I want us to get to. When the Holy Spirit can take control over our temperament, there are some people, because they've grown in the spirit, their nature is not like that. But then the Holy Spirit says, stop. Say, if I was in the world, like you see. That is how Christian life should be. What you could have done if you were not a Christian, if it happened to you as a Christian, if you're able to stop it, that is what I say, you are growing in Christ. But if the same thing happened to you all the time, then you need some injection. Some word needs to be injected in us. So, brethren, some of us, we find it difficult to forgive. You don't talk with the person, Christian. It's not an unbeliever, believer. It's not because the person sinned against Christ, he sinned against you. Or you didn't understand what he did. Sometimes the person didn't greet me. So you meet the person, you frown. Even when you are laughing and the person comes around, you put up a face as if she've taken lemon juice. See, while you do that, you are punishing yourself. How do you know that you will punish yourself when you are angry with somebody? It's self-inflicted disease. You are angry. Sometimes you see yourself talking like you are out of your mind. You are alone. The person is not there. And you see yourself talking. Oh, who is this guy? Who is he to tell me that? Come. And for you, what pains you is not what he said, but who said it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes our anger is not what the person said, but who said it. If I said the same thing, you won't be angry. Sometimes you feel somebody, you look down so much upon the person, you think, you look at the person, say, look at the person telling me this. So you go home and the thing replay. Huh? It replay and you go back, you look at what happened, then you meditate upon it day and night. How many of you have had sleepless night because somebody did something against you and you couldn't sleep? Let me see your hand. Look, all of us. Do you know that the night that you didn't sleep, that person, he slept? So, who? This is a small advice I'm giving you. If you want to keep long, learn how to release people from your heart. I don't say don't correct people. I said, if somebody's doing something which you don't like, or it might not even concern you, you don't like that, that thing will destroy the person. You call the person. I believe in meeting the person first. The Bible says, if he doesn't listen, if he's against you, he doesn't listen, get a second witness. If not, bring him to the elders. If not, we should bring him to the church. If you won't listen to the entire church, he's not a believer. Treat him like an unbeliever. Until you go through all these processes, you have no business in treating anybody like an unbeliever. So we're going to take the Lord's table. I intentionally took it this way so that you can prepare your heart. There are certain things that are difficult to forgive. There are some that are very painful. Especially if it is not you. Some temperament find it difficult. But in Christ, you can. And be the first person. I want us to bow down our head. I want us to search ourselves. Search your soul. Search your spirit. Look into your spirit. Whether there is any evil. This is not between you and the church. It is you and God. If there is any evil, just deal with him, God, who understands you. Ask for forgiveness. Release your friend. Release that person. Release that family member. Release your mother. Release your uncle who promised you and failed you. Release your father who never took care of you. Release him. Release your mother, whom you think she's the one who is causing problem in your life. Release your wife, release your husband, release your sister, release your brother. Release that auntie who maltreated you. And sometimes she's even dead and gone. But you said, keep that against her children. Release our Heavenly Father. We are here before you, standing before your very presence, activating the covenant, the new covenant in our life. The covenant that gives life. The covenant that is based on forgiveness. The covenant that is taken by faith. The covenant of love that override hatred, that override evil intentions. The covenant of love that gives and that do not keep. The covenant of love that will have compassion upon one another. This covenant, Lord, we ask and we activate in our life. This covenant, O God, we pray that the Holy Communion, it will be the reminder of our sacrifice, of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who taught us on the cross that forgive them, people who are killing him. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. If they really know what they are doing, that their salvation, their help, their life will depend on me, they will not have done that. But Lord, forgive them. And I pray that prayer. And pray that, Lord, we don't forget the death of Jesus Christ. And don't forget to live for him. That he died for us. And because of that, we want to live for him and obey his word. We affirm our certainty of his second coming. That because Jesus will be coming, there's no need to harbor anything in our heart, but to love one another. Oh Lord, we proclaim. We now proclaim, oh Lord, the death until we come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.